Someone, thought Mitchell Pierce, is having his apartment painted. A large pile of painter's rags, what looked like a spotted gray tarp, an old Indian blanket, a black, unblocked fedora, sat on the pavement just outside the front door of his apartment building. In the June morning heat, steam rose from the rags. Mitchell walked from under the awning, stopped, felt a lukewarm sun on his shoulder, and wondered why he was not beginning to sweat. Then a hand grabbed his ankle. "You got a dime, Chief?" Under the black hat, the Indian smiled with only one side of his mouth. The other side held a cigar. Now Mitchell could smell him, sweet and pungent as old bananas. "Come on, Chief, a few silver trinkets." Mitchell tried to pull his leg free, but the Indian held fast, red and black eyes staring from a broad, brick-colored face cut by a thousand tiny wrinkles, coated with soot, caged by two thick braids. Breakfast, not long crushed, began to turn in Mitchell's stomach. He put his foot into the Indian's chest and tried to kick him away. "Just a dime, Chief, so I can make the happy hunting grounds." Pulling change from his pocket, Mitchell aimed at the Indian's face. The hand left his ankle. Late already, he did not wait for a thank you. At the office, his stomach still upset, he was told by his secretary that Mr. Cook wanted to see him immediately. He knew why. Mr. Cook had assigned Mitchell and a co-worker, John Godwin, a commercial. Since Mitchell knew very little about the intricacies of selling such a product, Godwin had volunteered to do it alone, and Mitchell had agreed. He had seen Godwin's work only minutes before they submitted it to Mr. Cook, but those few minutes had been enough. Even Mitchell knew it was a bad job. Now he would have to face Mr. Cook and accept half the responsibility for the failure, or confess that he had done no work at all. Mr. Cook's office did not have a desk, only 15 orange leather chairs arranged into three circles in various parts of the room. They sat in the chairs nearest the window, the sun just outside, above the river. Mr. Cook's back to the window. Mitchell was glad to be squinting. It would be harder for Mr. Cook to know what he was thinking. "I'm not going to ask which of you fellows is basically responsible. I think I know already. Besides, the last thing I want is a spy system around here." Mr. Cook, eyes shaded by yellow-tinted spectacles, smiled at Mitchell and John Godwin in turn. The sun lit his thinning hair from behind. "All I care about is creating a one-minute play that will educate people about their need for he-sees. So maybe if we sit here and work on it together, we can get something by lunchtime, all right?" Mitchell had just torn out a match, the cigarette already between his lips, when Mr. Cook asked the question. He answered as quickly as he could, "Yes, sir." Godwin simply nodded, and Mitchell wondered if he ever would have that kind of courage. Mr. Cook did not seem to notice. "Now, we have this couple, in their early 30s, two ugly people. The husband is balding, the wife, no hairdo, straight hair, brown, a little curl on the end, am I right? Those are the kind of people who buy he-sees. What are they wearing?" He smoothed his tie and waited. Godwin, to Mitchell's right, crossed his legs. "What time of day is it?" "You're supposed to be telling me, John." "I thought you might want to change it." Godwin looked at Mitchell for a second. "We put the time in the early evening, after supper." "All right, now, what are they wearing?" Godwin turned to Mitchell. "I think you have some ideas on that." This was not true. He rephrased what Mr. Cook had already said. "Well, sir, I saw them as working people. The wife has on a cheap house dress. The husband has on a white shirt with his sleeves rolled up.